Scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 through 35. Listen for God's word.
He
went on teaching from town to village, village to town, but keeping on a steady course toward Jerusalem. A bystander said, "Master, will only a few be saved?" He said, "Whether few or many is none of your business. Put your mind on your life with God. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires your total attention. A lot of you are going to assume that you'll sit down to God's salvation banquet just because you've been hanging around the neighborhood all your lives. Well, one day you're going to be banging on the door, wanting to get in, but you'll find the door locked and the master saying, 'Sorry, you're not on my guest list.' You'll protest, 'But we've known you all our lives,' only to be interrupted with his abrupt, 'Your kind of knowing can hardly be called knowing. You don't know the first thing about me.' That's when you'll find yourselves out in the cold, strangers to grace. You'll watch Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets march into God's kingdom. You'll watch outsiders stream in from east, west, north, and south, and sit down at the table of God's kingdom. And all the time, you'll be outside looking in and wondering what happened. This is the great reversal. The last in line put at the head of the line, and the so-called first ending up last." Just then some Pharisees came up and said, "Run for your life. Herod's on the hunt. He's out to kill you." Jesus said, "Tell that fox that I've no time for him right now. Today and tomorrow I'm busy clearing out the demons and healing the sick. The third day I'm wrapping things up. Besides, it's not proper for a prophet to come to a bad end outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of prophets, abuser of the messengers of God, how often I've longed to gather your children like a hen, her brood safe under her wings, but you refused and turned away. And now it's too late. You won't see me again until the day you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of God.'" These are the words of the Lord.
Many of you may remember from school having to read the English author Graham Greene. You guys remember his name at all? He was a Roman Catholic, and in 1940 he wrote a book called The Power and the Glory. To make a long story short, it's about a drunk priest in Mexico during a time of revolution, and it's a priest who can't get his own life together, but nevertheless endeavors to try and be one who mediates the grace of God to his congregation. At the end of the story, this pathetic old whiskey priest, during this time of revolution, is rounded up and is to be executed as the government of Mexico is getting rid of all religion. And it's on the night before his execution that the priest goes over in his head and remembers things in his life, wondering, "Did my life amount to anything? Would my parents have been proud of me?" He thought about a lot of regrets, a lot of missed opportunities, failures to act, failures to love. And the book says this: on that night, it was though he missed happiness by seconds at an appointed place. He was kind of wondering if he missed the narrow gate. Maybe some of us will feel that way often, wondering if our lives are taking us through the narrow gate into God's kingdom, or if we are missing it. Are our lives what God desires them to be? I know myself too well that I am exactly the sort of person that Jesus has drawn into his crosshairs here this morning. I was raised in a Christian home. I was baptized at less than 2 months. I was confirmed in the faith. I grew up and eventually became a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would have every reason to expect Jesus to open the door of the kingdom when I come knocking. I've prayed, I've counseled, I've preached, I've sacrificed. I have all of those offerings and even more, and yet our passage says that such folk like me might be hearing the words from the owner of the house. Who's there? And who are you? It's Alan the minister. Who? It's me, Jesus. I don't know who you are. Go away. The passage most certainly makes me wonder if I am who God desires me to be. See, if I'm consumed with what I do in God's name, if I'm consumed with, first and foremost, what I'm doing right now, or what I was doing 5 minutes ago, or what I will be doing here in about 10 minutes, there's the possibility that I might miss everything that's going on. In fact, Jesus insinuates that the ones we might think are the most deserving at a place at the table in God's kingdom just might be the ones who miss the gate in. Yes, we've heard the kingdom will be populated with folks from all over, but it just might be populated with the people that we least expected to be there. Those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. If this priest that I spoke of in Graham Greene's The Power and the Glory thinks that he might be missing the gate, then we too need to consider, is there any possibility that we might be missing it too? It's so easy in this culture that we live in, being American Christians, to think that the kingdom was made for us. We live in a time of material and cultural and political prosperity, seriously, like the world has never ever known before. If there ever was a golden era in human history, I'm not sure there ever was, but if there was ever such a calculation, it would be right now, and it would be today. And because of that, it's very tempting to conclude that, man, maybe there's something special about us. Maybe there's something that we are deserving of God's affection like all other humanity in other times and other places wasn't worthy of. We might be tempted to think that somehow we're specially chosen. When you have blessings like we have in this country, when you have blessings like the church has experienced in this country, it often makes it even harder to reflect honestly. Honestly, on where do we stand in relation to the narrow gate? I don't know about you. I don't want to be guilty of practicing folk religion and calling it faith. American bounty is one thing, and God's kingdom is something else entirely. Jesus' words should make that entirely clear to us today. The question is, well then, who fits through the narrow gate? Can anybody get through there? Passage gives us the answer. Jesus Christ most certainly says, I do. Most of us, when threatened, we go into self-preservation mode. We survive. When the storm is coming, we make a run on the stores and we buy the rest of the milk and the toilet paper, thinking that, okay, we're ready for the next 3 months. We get busy saving ourselves. But when Jesus is told by the Pharisees, hey, Herod the king wants to kill you, Jesus doesn't do that. He's not about saying, okay, I better go round up some troops. I better go hide out. Jesus says something entirely different. He says, today I cast out demons and tomorrow I heal, and on the third day I reach my goal. When Jesus says, strive for the narrow gate, he doesn't necessarily mean get busy making your religious offerings of prayers and sermons and visitations and tithes. Getting the title Reverend in front of your name and the initials Master of Divinity after your name. That's not what he's talking about. We don't do those things hoping that it will make the gate bigger and easier to find. Rather, Jesus means, when he says strive for the narrow gate, he means strive for me. As I was talking to these kids, you know, if you know anything about farm life, then you likely know what a hen does when a coyote comes or when there's a barnyard fire. When the danger comes, when a fire comes, a hen gathers her brood underneath her wings. The wild animal, or the fire, most certainly will do that hen in. Killing it with its jaws, or killing it with heat and flame. But guess what happens because of her sacrifice? The brood that's underneath her wings survives. Living under the protection of the mother hen's wings. Jesus Christ is that hen. Jesus Christ, he's that narrow gate. He's the one that takes us from this judgment, which we have heard here from his own mouth today, is very real. He's the one who takes us from being under that judgment, through that narrow door and into the kingdom where you and I can sit. Can you see there's all the difference in the world if we think that it is our offerings, that it is our American can-do spirit, that it is our exceptionalism that gets us through the gate. If we think that, we've missed everything. But if we strive for Jesus Christ, then most certainly, it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom and everything else that is God's. I don't know about you, but as I get older, even though I started out in this very room and have spent my whole life in it, I want to be somebody who strives for the narrow gate because I strive for the affections of Jesus Christ. Our sisters and brothers, this is the appointed place that the priest was wondering if he had missed. But here is the good news. Is that Jesus Christ has overcome his doubts, my doubts, and yours. Jesus Christ, as was made clear here in the passage, in being the hen for a lost, hurting, and wayward humanity, has made the right offering of faith for you and for me.